did five, but let's
you did five? Let's start at five. Okay. Yeah, so just to wrap up these, so good, even if not everyone's here, it doesn't, you know. I think everyone will forgive us if we continue and move on to a different topic next week.
I have a vague recollection of five.
Let's see. So let's see what the Torah said there. So the imhu safek imba michutz latchum imlo l'rashi mutter. Okay, so this is the question of a doubt by Trum. Right, so the Gemara had constantly gone back and forth. Right, we had multiple cases here. Right, we had the cases of something being caught on Yom Tov, or Safek caught on Yom Tov, and then we had the cases of Trum. So the so what happens if it's Safek on the Trum? So the it's a bit unclear in the Gemara and the Tur notes that according to Rashi it's not according to Rashi thinks it's also, but everyone else Larashi Mutter, according to Rashi it is permitted, right? Safek from beyond the Tchum is permitted. L'divrei Hagaonim Asur, because of a Rashba, Sha'af L'divrei Hagaonim Ein L'Asur Ela Be'ovde Gilulim Shein Shari Imoy Ba'ir Dikalamecha Shema Michutz L'Tchum Hevi'am. Even the Gaonim, who say that even by a Safek Tchum, or a Safek, whether the object in question was brought from outside the Tchum, the only time you would be strict is if there's good reason to believe that it's outside the Tchum. Like the non-Jew you're talking about isn't your next-door neighbor, right? If your next-door neighbor has a tomato garden in his backyard and he brings you tomatoes, assuming you know they weren't picked on Shabbos, which was what we already dealt with, there's no reason to assume that he specifically, brought them from outside the Tchum. Aval ov gegulum ashari imo beir, if he is with you in the city, uperos hametzuyin beir, and the fruit that he brings you are ones that are able to be found in the city, ein lachush misafeg. So the Torah just notes that, Rashi thinks that if there's a doubt whether something brought from outside the Tchum, it's permitted. The Gaonim think it's Asur. Even the Gaonim, he thinks, will admit, the Rashba believes that even the Gaonim will be lenient if it's, they don't require certainty that it was from in the Tchum. The only thing they don't want is like a 50-50 Safek. But if something's like, 90-10, there's no reason to assume that things are bad. So that's how the Rashba takes the position of the Gaonim. So then the Beis Yosef breaks down the Rishonim here, and he says Uperish. Right, now this had all come. So I think we had seen the Gemara. Right, the Gemara that this is based on is, if you look back in three, is the following. You go down one, two, three lines at the beginning of the Gemara. Right, the Gemara says Ma mi makom karov. What does it mean from a close place? So Rav Amar mi makom karov mamish. It's really close. Shmuel Amar chayshinan shema chutz lechoma lanu. We're worried that maybe it came from outside the Tchum. So the question the Rishonim is, what does that mean? So the way the Gaonim read that is that Shmuel is Machmir, and Shmuel says, whenever it's a Safek, right, whenever it's a doubt whether something is brought from outside the Tchum, so we have to be strict and we have to forbid it. It's the same one from last week. Many weeks ago, or how many weeks ago it was. So we're three and then into five. That's how they go in and read the words chayshinan, right? Which is the normal way to read chayshinan, right? Namely, that we have to be concerned that maybe, l'chumra, we have to be strict that maybe it came from outside the city. But Rashi reads it, and this is, now if we skip back to five, Rashi reads it, right? How does Rashi get from the words chayshinan shema chutz l'chol malanu that we're lenient, right? It sounds like the Gaonim are right. The Gemara says that if we're not sure if something came from outside the Tchum, you have to be strict, you have to be choshesh. So where does Rashi get this from? So the Beis Yosef quotes Rashi and says, Uperish Rashi de Shmuel l'kula lomar de'afal bishalo nichnu sule'ir ara boker choshishin shema biva'od yom bo b'toch ha'tchum v'lonu b'layla chutz l'choma. Rashi reads this in a very counterintuitive way, right? Normally, the word choshesh means we're worried, and therefore we are concerned, therefore we have to be strict. Rashi flips it and says, no, even if you have reason to believe that he brought it from outside the Tchum on Shabbos, If it's possible that he didn't, namely, it's possible that even though you didn't see him in the city, right? You wake up in the morning, he's just getting home, right? So it's clear that he was like out all night. And you have reason to believe he probably went vegetable picking outside the tchum in the middle of the night or whatever the case may be. We're allowed to be concerned that maybe that's not what happened at all. That what happened was he was outside the tchum on Friday or whatever, and then he traveled back and, you know, he got caught like right before Shkia or whatever at nightfall outside the city limits, but within the tchum. So he just set up camp. He can't, you know, he set up his tent outside. He wanted to have a nice night in the warm weather, whatever, and he stayed outside. And therefore, right, we're allowed to be concerned lekula, right? Meaning we're allowed to construe a possibility that would allow it to be permitted, right? And that's what he says, that Rashi interprets it, in, right, again, in this counterintuitive way, that choshesh doesn't mean like the gonim, that if it's a doubt whether something comes from outside the tchum, we're stringent. Rather, it's choshesh, is we find, we concern ourselves with constructing possibilities that would allow us to be lenient and to eat the things that might have come from outside the tchum. That's how Rashi reads it.
Isn't that a strange way of reading it?
It's a very strange way.
When would you have a bada in that situation? That it definitely came outside the tchum.
I don't know. He tells you. He said, hey, I just got back. I went, you know, I just went, you know, you'll never believe it. I went, you know, I had the greatest morning. I, you know, I drove out to the country, and I picked these berries. Well, okay, picking would be bad. That would be whatever.
I thought we didn't believe anything that a goy says.
Lakula sometimes. Lakura were very into, you know. No, I mean, not always. It's not always true either. But that's a look. It's very counterintuitive, right? Choshishin lakula, right? Is very weird. I mean, sometimes you get it, right? It reminds me, right, Willig once said that you only find this in modern Svarim, but he opened up one modern Sefer, and it constructed an whole argument of why something was lekula. And then at the end, it says, v'yesh lahachmir bedochak. Right, if we really push ourselves, we can come up with a chumrah. Right, so classically, that's not how Pesach worked, right? If the straightforward argument led to kula, then you were just makil. If the straightforward argument led to chumrah, then sometimes you were still makil, right? Still, though, you're still makil. Sometimes you were machmir. But here you have the flip, right? The choshishin, right? Rashi says we're concerned that we go out of our way not to be machmir, which again, you know, sometimes you find classically in Pesach, but the wording is very strange.
Maybe he used the word lamed.
Well. Well, then that's what he says. Right? I mean, he's saying we're concerned. The problem here is the choshesh, right? You're right. Meaning, what Rashi is thinking is, why are we worried that he was outside the chom alanu? Meaning, the way the Gonim read it is, we're worried he was way outside the. Meaning, right? Meaning, okay. Here's the grammatical thing. Right? Choshesh normally sounds like chumra, but the question is, how do you read chutz lachom alanu? Right? The Gonim say we're worried that he spent the night way outside the wall. Right? Because right outside the wall would be within the tchum. So they have to read it. We're worried that they were way outside the wall. Rashi says, what do you mean? Chutz l'choma lanu means right outside the wall. But if you're right outside the wall, you're within the tchum. And therefore Rashi said, okay, it must be that we'll flip it. We're worried that we concern ourselves with the possibility that maybe he was just right outside the wall, and therefore we're makil. And therefore, as the Beis Yosef continues, what comes out according to Rashi is every time you have a suffix, whether something was brought out from outside the tchum on Shabbos, we are mekil. But then bet aval hageonim pershu dishmu lahachmir asa v'lomer daaf al pishin nichnasu baboker hashkein. Shmuel, right? The Gonim say no. Even if he shows up first thing in the morning, so chances are he wasn't outside the tchum because people didn't really travel at night. Right? Night wasn't a safe time to travel. So if he came first thing in the morning, chances are he was within the tchum already, right? He was within, you know, whatever it is. You know, he was within a few mil, you know, not a few mil. He was within, you know, he was in the city limits. Right? People didn't, you know, you didn't want to camp out in the middle of nowhere in the middle of the night. That wasn't safe, right? If he shows up first thing in the morning, chances are he was there. And despite that, Chayshin and Shem Balayla have you, Mimakum Rachok, Velanu Chutz Lachoma, we have to be worried that, no, maybe the guy really did go far away. He had a nighttime, you know, vegetable bringing, not picking, again. But, you know, he in the middle of the night went and traveled to get his fruits and vegetables. And therefore, according to them, and therefore, anytime you have a doubt, you would have to be stringent. And the Rif and the Rambam are machmer. Now then he continues in Gimel here that the Ran pushes Rashi. Because of Aran, the ikal meidak al divrei Rashi, mi da amar apapa goy shehevi daron, im yesh bimino bimchubar asur ad erebuch de sheyasu. So he points out that our whole sugya had been dealing with cases of doubts, the cases of sveika, right? Because our whole sugya, if you remember, had been the case where the Gemara had said the barometer we use to figure out whether something was probably picked on Shabbos or Yom Tov or not was, are there any of those fruit left attached to the ground? Right? If none of the fruit is attached to the ground and he brings it to you, we can assume he just brought it to you from his house. We don't have to be worried that, you know, he had some hidden vegetable garden that he picked from on Shabbos or Yom Tov. But if your neighbor brings you blueberries, and you know he has a stash of blueberries in his house, and you know that blueberry picking season ended 3 weeks ago, and nobody has any blueberries left in the bushes, so then you're allowed to assume that it's permitted, because chances are he didn't pick it, everyone had already picked it 3 weeks ago. So the Ran says, our sugya in Beitza, which uses this standard of are there or are there not fruit that could still theoretically have been picked on Shabbos and Yom Tov, is clearly weighing in on this issue of what do you do when there's a doubt whether something is an issur was violated for this this fruit or vegetable to get to you. So he says, "The ikla meidak adivrei Rashi, number of papa goy shevi daronim yesh b'mino mevuchubar asar ad erev v'nei sheyasu." Right, our Gemara, which had said that if anything is still attached to the ground, so then we have to assume that when he brings you his strawberries, that he picked them on Shabbos or on Yom Tov. He said, why is that the case? According to Rashi, Rashi had ruled that if it's a doubt if something is asur, then we go lekula. So why in our sugya, right? Meaning, if you're in the middle of the strawberry picking season, and your neighbor has a strawberry, or has strawberries in his backyard, let's say it's halfway through the season, so you know that your neighbor has some strawberries still on the it's bushes? Bushes? Strawberries are on bushes? I assume so.
Yeah. Strawberries on vines.
What? Vines? 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 They're still on the vine. And some he has in his house. So according to Rashi, why don't we just say you go lekula? Right? I mean, Rashi says when there's a doubt, you go, you are lenient. So why does our Gemara say that it's not true? Why does our Gemara say that if there's anything still attached to the tree, to the bush, to the vine, then we have to assume that it is usur? So he answers, Teretz HaRabbeinu Yona, the kol sheyesh b'mino b'mechubar, darkon shebnei adam lukot odo b'yomo, v'en lokten osom b'berev. So he said, because even Rashi is only going to be makel by 50-50, not by a 75-25 or 90-10 luchumra. And he said, look, you know, if it's berry picking season and someone brings you, you know, fresh berries, they're usually bringing you, you know,
fresh berries,
right? It's not really a nice present. It's not like someone says, oh, I have all these berry, you know, these berry bushes and vines in my backyard. I want to give a nice present to my neighbor. So what am I going to do? I'm going to pick some fresh berries and I'm going to have them for my lunch. And I'll bring in the stuff that's in my house from 3 days ago that has started to get soft, right? I might as well clear it out. That's not how you do it. You bring over a present, you bring over the fresh one. And therefore, it's true that Rashi, in the case of Suffolk, is lenient, but Rashi is not lenient in the case where the probability is lechomra. He says, "The rubanos and kenin don't lock a kan l'shono ulefize suffik imilkudo nitodu hayom asurim lotzei shabbos and asurim liyam devakdesh yasu kiilu vada imilkudo nitodu b'shabbos o b'yom tov." Right, so the Ran here is really equating these two sveikot, right? The tchum and the cutting. He just says the rule is the same. Rashi thinks a 50-50 safek we go lukula, a 75-25 towards tchum or whatever, we are machmir. But filu l'divrei Rashi b'farsh l'chashin and shemachot l'chum alana lukula kamar, however, Beis Yosef in the end is machmir and says even in the case of the 50-50 suffix, we are going to be strict against Rashi like the Gaonim.
This principle, couldn't it be different today? You're saying, I mean, what was the purpose of
for people? Sure, you can, because if you if the probability, for sure, I think nowadays you know, what are the chances? Right, what are the chances that if someone brings you, right, you invite a non-Jew for lunch, you're right, your next door neighbor is a non-Jew for lunch on Shabbos, right? And he comes with a pineapple, right? What's more likely, that he bought a pineapple yesterday, right? You know, let's leave Shabbos lunch off, right? Friday night dinner, right? What are the chances that he, you know, in the hour while you were at shul, flew down to some, you know, weather where it doesn't snow in mid-April, and therefore you can actually grow pineapples, right? What are the chances of that versus going to Sobeys and picking up a... No, in a Hanami, I think now, because these things are based on probabilities, I assume you have to take into account the fact that the majority of people nowadays, right, aren't... First of all, it's almost impossible to get out of the tchum. Right, meaning where is out of the tchum in Toronto? Right, meaning you know you are in the tchum, assuming for the most part you're in the tchum, and most people aren't picking their fruit. Right, they're getting the fruit and vegetables. You know, if they're coming for a meal, they probably got it on Thursday. They got it on Friday. Right, I think you're right. Right, meaning nowadays probability for most people, unless you're like a farmer or something, is that
even the farmers leaving the stuff attached to the ground, like putting it in the fridge. Once you detached it. That was the beginning of its
correct. And refrigeration should change things, right. For sure. I think
keep it attached to the ground. Okay, now it's like in the refrigerator because it's not gonna rot. So I might run out and pick some and bring it to my neighbor. But even if I'm a farmer, I picked it 3 or 4 days ago, put it in my freezer, and
no, I think you're right. Right, you know where you get more. Right, I mean these types of discussions are brought up. You know, where's the bigger sveikot? Right, people bring this up in the newspaper discussion. Right, one of the many discussions in the newspaper is what if the newspaper was brought michutz l'tchum, right? Because the newspaper is printed in the morning, and depending where the printing house is for the newspaper, it might have been printed on Shabbos, right? And even if it was printed, you know, Friday, it might if it comes to you in the morning, it may have come from, you know, wherever, right? You know, I don't know, maybe they're printing houses in Mississauga, whatever,
really,
right?
That's a Shiloh.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're just not delivering your paper. They're delivering the whole street. They're delivering three streets.
Yeah, there are a lot of poskim who are... I'm not poskim here. I'm saying there are a lot of poskim who are machmir on this question because they say, right, because the fact they're bringing for other people may not help you because they're bringing it also specifically for you, right? Meaning these are distinct units. They're atomic units, right? They're giving you, right? If there were less people, they would bring less newspapers. It's not like...
But the printing side of it is they don't print it for you. They print it for...
Well... Again, I don't want to get into the full discussion.
The person that brings it to you isn't the person that prints it. It's
certainly not a rove. I mean, you're talking about.
I'm not going to get into the details. But the reason that people bring it up, my point is that you're right. The modern shayla is usually not the pineapple, right? Because the you know yes, we have refrigeration. You know, we know most of our fruit, right? I mean, most of our fruit is not grown here. We know that, right? You know, it's especially in Canada, right? It's a very limited number of our fruit at limited times during the year that could possibly have been from Canada. The majority of them had to have been shipped from God knows where, right? I mean...
Unless you've got an Italian neighbor who's got tomatoes in the backyard.
Yeah, look, no, you can usually tell, right? Because they're not as nice, right? They're the tomatoes that are like... Saying they're not they're tomatoes. You know, it's like I'm very proud of my tomatoes that I picked in my backyard, right? There's a different look than your... No, in economy. That's why the modern shaylas are newspapers and things like that. And
just as an analogy to the newspaper thing, what if somebody picked the fruit other than the guy who's coming to my house for lunch and shops? Somebody else picked the fruit, and he gave it to the guy. He gave a bunch of it to the guy who's coming, and the person that picked it has no thought whatsoever. It's coming to me. Doesn't even know who I am. Doesn't know where the goy is coming from.
In our case, that's irrelevant because we're not actually asking the goy what he did. So how the fruit materialized in his hand?
No, but he didn't pick it on Shabbos.
Right.
So nobody who picked it had any concept or intention that it was coming to a Jewish person.
He picked it to give to a goy.
Yeah.
Right. So I mean, we've talked about that a bit, right? I mean, that was the Gemara's right deals with it. Right. Depends on whether it's Bishvil Yisrael or right. That's Bishvil Akum, right? Which is, is more lenient.
One step further, a goy picks it in Peterborough, brings it to Markham, intending to give it to a goy.
No, so Tchum might be a problem, right? Tchum might be a problem.
That's why I added that.
Right.
He brought it
into Tchum is a problem anyways.
But he brought it into the Tchum to give to a goy.
Right,
the
so that's...
The goy who got it, who gave it to me, got it in the Tchum. And the person that
right, so that still might be a problem because you can't benefit from it once it's come out of the Tchum until afterwards.
It doesn't matter if the person that brought it into the Tchum had nobody Jewish in mind.
No, right, not by Tchum, right? The Tchum, right, that depends on where it was, right? That's why the Tchum case gets a bit more complicated.
Well, are we
limiting
Suffolk here where we're saying we're asking the Tchum where the fruit actually came from? Like,
what?
In Al's case, we're sourcing fruit. The fruit ends up at your door, and Al's saying that we're sourcing it and knowing exactly where it's coming from. So it means... you're saying it went from Goy 1 to Goy 2.
Yeah,
Goy
2 says, I have no idea where it came from, and I have no idea if it came from outside the Tchum. Joe Blow gave it to me.
We haven't even gotten to the question of... Right, the question of whether you can solve this all by asking them, right? That hasn't even come up, right? No one assumes
right.
You can ask them. No one assumes you can ask
that question. Going back to Rabbi Gamliel when the guy brought him the fish.
Right, well, that's right. That we don't do, right? Because in general, they don't have nemanos.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
Except if it's a chumra.
Yeah, well, because they were koshesh, right? You're not neman, you're just koshesh, right? Sometimes.
Okay, just going back to our Gemara for one second.
Yeah.
Okay, based on what we've just said now about Rashi and probabilities and everything else, when we're talking our Gemara, we had difficulty understanding what it meant, still fruit on the tree. Based on this, it can't mean one fruit left on the tree. It has to mean there has to be sufficient...
Yeah, no, right, I don't think it means one. It means, like, that's, you know, it's still the middle of the picking season. I think that's what, yeah. Okay, so in Dalid, the Beis Yosef says, because of a Rashba, the because of a Mordechai, Bereish Perek, and Sadin, Amar Yidam, Ar Shmuel, Lachter, Bishua, Mashem, the Shmuel, Islay, Mukta, Fil, Besafek, Mukhan, the because of Avi Ezri, Avagav, the Besafek, Mukhan, Machmir, and Hainem, Mishum, the Muktahu. Gdiza, Bibikar, Perek, call Hakelim. So he notes that according to Shmuel, even when something is Safek, whether it was picked or not, it is Aser, and the reason is because of Mukta, as we've explained before, for many reasons. The one possibility I actually didn't dwell on and why Safek Mukta might be Aser, because it's rejected by almost all Rishonim, is that Mukta might really be just Daraisa. Not just Kain Daraisa, but Daraisa Daraisa. Which, the Gemara has one line in Psachim Mem Zayin that implies that, and Rashi on Beit Zadaf Beis seems to think that Mukta is Daraisa. What? In general. That Mukta is Daraisa. And then the Chassam Sofer and the Nitziv think that Rashi thinks that only Mukta of eating is Daraisa, which explains why you had a distinction in the Gemara between eating and moving. Because, right, the Chassam Sofer and the Nitziv say Rashi thinks that eating Mukta is Daraisa, but moving Mukta is only Darabanan, and that's why Safek Mukta of eating is L'chumra, and maybe not Tiltul, but that's just sort of in parentheses here. But we hit, for whatever reason we had said before, whether it was because it's Kain Daraisa or because it's a Davar Shiyus HaMatirin or whatever it is, Safek Mukta is Asur. V'gam Archakel Isur V'lo L'Hakel Avalam Ein Safek Mukta El Safek Tchumen Kagon Sheyesh L'Goya Maybe Daron Shnei Batim Echa B'Dor HaTchum Shari Afilo Mishe Ba Bishvilo. But the Rajban, the Mordechai rule that Safek Tchumen is, right, that we should distinguish, that we shouldn't equate the two sugyot. We should say that Safek Mukta is Asur, but if it's only Tchum, right, it's not a question of Mukta at all, So then we should be makil. Why? And they right. The reason is simple, right? I mean, we bent over backwards to explain why safek mukta should be usur because it's ostensibly derabanan. It's ostensibly derabanan mukta.
Well,
right?
You just said that.
No, that's what. No, the arshito says deraisa, but the majority, that's what I said, everyone rejects it, and that's why we bent over backwards to figure out why is it usur.
Uh-huh.
But tchumen, according to.
Definitely
is definitely derabanan.
Oh, really?
Yes. Tchumen is definitely derabanan, and therefore, right, he says, Gabi. Tchum is derabanan. The Rambam thinks that tchum of Yud Beis Mil is Daraisa, but Tchum, right, no one holds that Tchum, basically no one, in Rishonim, thinks that Tchum of 2,000 Amos is Daraisa. Maybe if 12 Mil is Daraisa, that's the Rashba, that's the Rambam, the Rif, but regular Tchum is Derabbanan, and therefore, we don't bend over backwards on this, and therefore the Rashba, the Mordechai, following that sheet, to say, even if you're going to conclude that Safek Mukta is Daraisa, Safek Tchum is going to be, sorry, Safek, not Daraisa. Safek Mukta is Lechumra. Safek Tchum is going to be Lekula. So that is the end of the Rajba's position. Okay, the next unit here in 6, in the Tur Beis Yosef. V'davar she'eino b'mino b'mechuba. Right, back to this thing. If something isn't around, right, it's not still attached to the ground, it's not picking season. V'eino mechusar tzeida. And it hasn't, you know, it's not lacking in being trapped. Meaning, you know that this fruit or this animal was picked or caught before Shabbos Yom Tov. Im ba mitocha tchum mutter l'kol. Right? And you know it comes from within the tchum. So then all problems are solved, right? The apple was picked on Friday, and it's been sitting in the fridge over Shabbos, and then your neighbor brings over a fruit platter on Shabbos lunch. That is mutter, according to everyone. Right, the fruit was picked before, it wasn't brought from outside the tchum, it's fine. V'imba michutz l'tchum, asur l'ochlan. Oh, no, sorry, I take back what I said before. Right, on the tchum thing. This thing gets so confusing. Imba michutz l'tchum, this is the part. If it comes from outside the tchum, asur l'ochlan, l'misha huv'u b'shvilo. So, the person is brought for its asur. Avo mutter l'taltlan. But he can move it, because since other people can eat it, it's not mukta. It's just mutzer to eat. V'achirim mutarin af la'achlan. But other people can eat it. Ula eretz ar lahamdin misha huvu bishvilo b'chdesh yasu. And the one who isn't allowed to eat it has to wait motzai Shabbos, the amount of time it would take, again, pending everything we've said before, right, how much time that is, fine. L'rab ilfis, l'chein chaz bal it, l'ri ein sarech. And the Rif and the Balatrumos and the Re had said you don't have to velazehiskim adoni avi harashzal. Right, in this case, the Rif and the Balatrumos say you don't have to wait b'kdeshi yasu. V'davo she'ein b'mino b'mechubar shehuva liYisrael b'yom tov rishon shel Rosh Hashanah muter b'sheini. And if something is no longer being picked and it was brought to the Jew on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, the second day he's allowed to eat it. Even though the 2 days, no, right, because you've solved the mukta problem, now it's just a suffix tchum problem. And by the second day, since the only reason you wouldn't be allowed to eat it is because of a fine, that we don't want you to tell him, bring it to me. So it's enough to penalize you on the first day, and the same is true when Shabbos goes into Yom Tov. So now the Beis Yosef has many points here. I've divided them up into 8.
So that's based on Tosfot, not Rashi.
Yeah, so we'll see. Yeah, I mean, we'll, yes. And we'll see it here, right? So he says, okay, Aleph. Why do I say that if it comes from outside the tchum, the only people who can eat it are those who was brought for and not others? Perish Rashi, the time of Bishum, the Chavim Deser Tchum and Derabana. No, sorry, this is tchum. No, this is not Rashi because we're on tchum now. So it's just because tchum is Derabana and lo achmer kulehai. V'dayim esru al zeh. Because tchum is Derabana, it's more mekel, and therefore we only forbid it for the person it was brought for. That's point one. Two, the cause of Aran, til divrei harif haramban, shesorim the tchum shalosh parsos de araisa, right, even according to the Rambam and the Rif, who say that there is a biblical tchum, so you would say, why are you being so lenient on the tchum, right? Why do you assume that if the guy brought the fruit in from outside the tchum, that it was only from 2,000 amos away? Maybe it's from 3 parsa away, right? He brought it from 100 miles away. Efshar shetam shekilu letir liyisrael acher hainu mishum disr tchum en eno shaveh bechol shemashu leechot chutz lechum ul acher tocha tchum leficha chekilu bo. So the Ran has this fascinating svara and says, even if you think tchum is d'araisa, it's a different type of isser. Why? Because it's relative, right? The fact that you say that you're not allowed to pick a fruit on Shabbos is an objective principle, right? You can't pick a fruit on Shabbos. Doesn't matter where you are. Doesn't matter what you do. Tchum, you can't tell anybody you aren't allowed to carry this apple from point A to point B. Because if the guy lives at point A, then he can carry it 2,000 amos or 3 parsos from point A. If he lives at point B, he can carry it 12 parsos from point B. If he lives in between point A and point B, right, he might be able to carry it to point A and to point B. Meaning, it's by its nature a malleable isser because it's person-dependent. And therefore, the Ran suggests that even if it is d'araisa, it's a weak d'araisa. This is an interesting sfera, right? It's a weak d'araisa because it's relative to the person, and therefore it's less definable, or something like that. And therefore, we are willing to be more lenient in case in by tchumen than we are by other things, which is a, interesting. It's interesting. that's point two.
That's kind of weird, because like, Eishadish ain't a shovel before. The Arias are not a shovel before, right? If it's your sister, it's one thing. If it's somebody, if your sister wants another thing, and if it's a person who's not related, it's a third thing. Right?
Yeah.
We may kill by rice for that reason.
This is Isser Lav, right? Could be Isser Karis. I don't know. You know, I don't know if Isser Karis is just worse and Isser Lav is just, you know.
I understand the terms of the mechanism.
Right. But just, no, I understand. I mean, Arayat is a bit different because they'll say the status of Eishadish is also Usher.
Basically, trying to get an understanding of this idea. If it's not Shabbat B'Kol, it's something we should be more, may kill him.
No, so we do say that in general.
A very chumry sermon on Shabbat B'Kol, right?
No, we do say that. Meaning, you know, the Gemara does bring up Eino Shabbat B'Kol even by more machmer things. Meaning, Eishadish is Shabbat B'Kol in the sense that, I mean, I get it, right? It's not, Tchum is sort of Shabbat B'Kol, it's just that what you define the tchum. I mean, I'm not sure if you mean.
But Shabbos isn't Shabbat B'Kol. When it's Shabbos here in Toronto, it's not Shabbos in.
I don't know if that makes a difference, right? Because it's wherever it's Shabbos, it's us.
So the tchum that you're saying, where you're over there and I'm over here.
Not yeah, I mean, look, he so may also mean. I mean, you know, he may also mean that. Therefore, it's always possible theoretically possible to move something, right, on Shabbos, right? Let's say you set up people all along the tchum, you know, like so that each person's, you know, tchum was in each other's, right? You could, you know, you could theoretically, not carrying, but even just like, you know, I don't know, you want to pass a message right across, right? You could get it across, right? Because you could, you know, A could get to B and B could get to C and C could get to D, right? You could create all types of interesting. I don't know if he just means that tchum is more malleable in that sense. It's because it's in a Shabbat B'Kol, I can also play with it, right? You know, because like A and B may not be able to reach each other's houses, but they could create a neutral space in the middle where they could, or you know, overlapping in your Venn diagram. I don't know what he means, but there is something intuitive about that tchum is different. But in what sense it's different? You're right. You have to really articulate it because there are other things. Right, I mean, yes, Eishes ish, Shabbat B'Kol. But you're right, this woman, you know, to me, she's my wife. To someone else, she's a wife, just not mine, therefore it's us, right?
But what he may be saying is, if the goy brings it in for Reuven, and for Reuven it was out of his tchum, Shimon, who could be right beside Reuven, it could have been within his tchum, and so it was not prohibited to him, even if he would have brought it to him. So you can't make Xera when it's actually something that would have been permissible
maybe
to some of the other people there. You just don't make that Xera. In other words, it may have been
maybe
to them, but you don't make the Xera.
Maybe, I don't know. Yeah.
Why don't they want us to make it cooler by Tchum? wanted to use do what the Tosso did in the first half of Shabbos. Talks about that that Hatzah is altogether is a malacha grua, right? It's not a, you know, because you don't make any change in the object itself. The object is
right.
You're taking the object from A to B. And
yeah, I mean, he seems to be making some sort of argument like that, and saying Tolman is weak categorically the way Hatzah is. You know,
but they don't use the term Shabbat Mikol there. They use the term, well, it's malacha grua, and they seem to say because there's no change, the visible change in the object when it comes from point A
yeah.
to B.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. I can, you know, I'm not sure what exactly he wants from it. Okay. Point three he makes here is that we had seen the Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos whether you have to wait till the end of day one or the end of day two, right? So in point three, he just notes that by Tchum, because Tchumen are more Mekil, everyone agrees that by Yom Tov Sheni it's Mutter, which is what you know the Torah had said. That's point three he makes. Point four he makes
why would that be true for Tosfot? If the fear is that you're going to ask a goy to do something for you.
Because we're not consistent by Derabanans. Right. Because we're not. I mean, that's really the answer, right? Meaning, I mean, look at Gimel, right? He says, it's not, right? Again, this is one of those things. You can demand intellectual consistency, but you won't get it, right? When it comes to Derabanan, the answer is that sometimes, even though it makes sense to be Machmir, we just aren't, because we don't want to impose on people when we're dealing with a Derabanan. So that's point three he makes. Point four he makes is a Mordechai Kosov Perek Pachoma Arvin, Dil Oso Yitzro Shovu Bishvilo, Asur Akade Shiyasu Motze Yom Tov, Dechayim and Deviyam Bishvil Yisrael, Imken Ikal Mecha Shemin Yomru, Ligoy Lech Vahave Bishvil Yom Tov, Sheni Yishrein Le Bisheni. So Acher Shlohu Bishvilo Gam Yom Tov Rishon Motze Miyar Akan Lashon. Right? The Mordechai had felt that we don't, that for the person for whom it's brought, we make you wait, because the concern is that you're going to tell the guy, do it for me. And since we don't want you to tell him, do it for me, we make you wait until it's not worth your while, until after it could have been done. But then in Hey, he says, Miu achar kach kazu b'shem harif. He notes, however, that Rabbeinu Yechiel, he thinks, was actually Mekel in this question, and even for the Jew who was brought for, he was Mekel. Right, and therefore, even though there were people who thought, there were Rishonim who thought you have to wait till after day two, the Beis Yosef is Mekel and says that Halacha, we are Mekel even for the person who was brought for by Tchum till only day two of Yom Tov Sheni. Now in Vav, the Rashba says something important, and this is something we've raised before. Right, we saw a few weeks ago already the possibility that things that are owned by non-Jews are less problematic, mukta-wise, than that which is owned by Jews. Right, because that right that was machlokas in the Yerushalmi. But let's say a Jew has property outside the Tchum. So is that better or worse than property that the non-Jew owned, chutz la-Tchum? So the Rashba says in no uncertain terms that all of these kulot of tchum are only if the fruit in question didn't belong to the Jew. Because of a Rashi b'tshuva, the had the davar she'ein b'mino b'mechubar v'hova mechutz la'tchum mutal mishalova b'shvilo hani mili b'peres goy. The only time we're lenient to allow someone from the fruit wasn't brought to eat it if it didn't belong to a Jew. Aval b'peres Yisrael asurin l'chol. Right, and this is going back to Yerushalmi. He says, but that which a goy owns, you can argue and say, look, The guy doesn't care about Shabbos, and therefore he never actively pushed it out of his mind. But if a Jew has property outside the Tchum, he assumes he's not going to see it until after Shabbos or after Yom Tov. And therefore, if the guy says to the Jew, hey, I did you a favor. I went to your, you know, I know you're celebrating your holiday, and you know, I figured that you might want your dessert, so while you were praying at synagogue, I went out to your farm, and I brought you your blueberries so that you could have a great dessert, right? That, the Rashba says, is definitely, definitely usher for everybody, right? Because, not because of Tchum, but because of Muktzah, because the Jew, he knew he had his blueberries outside, and because he knew his blueberries outside the Tchum, he was actively makta midaito. He actively said, okay, these blueberries are going to be my Sunday snack and not my Shabbos snack. He knew that. If the goy then brings it, it is muksa for everybody. Not because of a problem of the goy bringing it, right? Which may not be a problem for anyone besides for him, but because it was muksa. So the Rashba says this whole discussion, the only time we're lenient for the person it wasn't brought for is if the fruit belong to the guy, belong to the Jew, then we are machmir. Okay, in Zion he writes because of Od Shaalta Isam Chinam Bal Itur Bigoy Shevidron LeYisrael Dafil Lemi Sheba Bishvilo Mutter Toch Arba Amav. So the Itur has a right. You know, this is when things get very, very nitty gritty. Right? He said, what happens if you're right inside the Tchum? Within 4 amos of the Tchum. So he violates, it's michutz la Tchum, but, right, what's the halacha? Let's say you accidentally walk past the Tchum on Shabbos, right? So the halacha is you have Dalet Amot. So he said, what if the guy brings it to you, michutz la Tchum, but he brings it to you, mamash al hagvul, right? You are 2 amot in, right? Like, you know, the 2,000 amos ends here, you're here, and you're within 4 amos. So, theoretically, even though it's outside the Tchum, it's within the amount of Amot that you could get to even if you were locked, right? Because, you know, once you're locked, once you've passed the Tchum, you have the magic 4 Amos. So he said, what happens if it's within the 4 Amos of the Tchum? So he said, if that's the case, the Baal HaItur said that it is... But so he was asked, is that Asr? Nearly, the low. Shehu Somach al Yerushalmi, Shamar Kablin, Vochlin, Goy Migaran, Didach, Ve'ilu B'gmara, Rapapa, Stam Amar. So he said, no, I don't think so. Right? Once it's out, the Tchum means Tchum. Okay. So then Chet, he just says, why is it that even the Jew who's not allowed to eat it is allowed to move it? So this is something we've seen several times, is because if the guy brings me an apple, so I'm not allowed to eat it. But Sam is allowed to eat it, so I may not be allowed to eat it. But in order for it to be muksa such that I can't move it, it needs to have no use to me. But it has a use to me. Namely, I can give it to Sam, and Sam can eat it. So even though I'm not allowed to eat it, I am allowed to move it, and I'm allowed to give it to Sam. Okay. 7. We skip to 7 here. One thing that has to be defined is, right, the Torah had noted that if the guy brings an apple for me, so it's usher to me, and it's mutter to Sam.
Can you give it to Sam, or can Sam take it? I mean, there's a difference between the two. Can you get hana'ah?
Yeah, this? So, okay, that's 7, right? Okay. So the question is, right, so, I mean, like, I can, let's say, hand it over to Sam, right? Meaning, right, not, like, give it as a present to Sam. Let's just say I can give it to, right, I'm handing it over to Sam, right? Fine. Let's just assume that. But if the guy brings it for me, right, so I can hand it over to Sam. But what about my kids, right? The guy comes to my house for Shabbos meal. He says, I'm bringing you this apple. So now I can't eat it. But what about, but Sam, who, you know, happens to be walking by the house, I say, I can't do it, right? And the guy says, oh, well, you can't have it. Can anyone else? And I just, you know, yell into the street and Sam, you know, walks in and takes it, whatever, right? Then he can do it. But what happens if he brings it for me? So I can't eat it, but what about my kids? Can my kids eat it? My wife? What about if Sam wasn't just walking through the street and I said, you know, I have nothing to do with this apple. Let me call Sam in. What if Sam was invited over to my house for a meal and therefore, right, he was already presumed to be part of my circle for this meal. What's the, right? Where, who's, who's the achar, right? That's what basis of deals within seven. So because of a rab, b'shem asmag, the chiyan damrina asal achlan mimi shehuvu b'shvilo, kol b'ne b'esar nam yasurim kamo, da'idu kulu asar g'dihisav berkom arvin. So he said, it means you and your family. Right? When it says you, it's asar to you, it means you and your family, because when the guy comes to your house for lunch, right, he didn't bring, you know, he brings a watermelon, right? He didn't bring the watermelon just for the balabayit, right? He brought it for the ganze mishpacha, right? He didn't bring a watermelon that can feed 20 people for one person. And therefore, when we say you, we mean you and anybody who presumably is eating with you, meaning your family. In bet, he says, "V'yesh lo dag zivri bala truma sadesh and shekadu b'siminayin ches im yesh bedavar tzorech gon shazimin orchem nechbadim v'gabaylehu ha'achdar onir d'yesh lismoch adivrei ha'ashiri." Now, what about guests? What about guests? So the truma sadesh is a bit misupik about this, and he says, if guests pop on you, right, and you suddenly need extra food for your guests, so truma sadesh said you can be mekil. So what does that mean? So he says, "Umash midvav sha'orchem din Yisrael achar yesh lahem." So he said, what it sounds like is that fundamentally he believes that guests are considered not you. You and your family are you. Even your guests are not you.
Does anybody else use the term ashiri other than Truma Sedesin?
Yeah. Many people use ashiri. Yeah.
For the rush.
No, or for or the Haggot ashiri.
Not the rush.
I don't know which one he means, actually. He can't mean the Haggad Ashri. The Haggad Ashri is a Talmud of the Truma Sedeshan. Or is the Truma Sedeshan a Talmud of him? I have to look it up. They are the same base medrash, but I don't remember which way it is. I think. But the Beis Yosef continues, V'nira hefech, ma'ashamru b'gamar, the chalaz of v'yirish kalusa, da'ita d'kul rabban nasa. He said this contradicts a Gemara, because if you, in 3, right, the Gemara all the way before, was it 3 or was it, was it 3? I don't know. One of them. The Gemara had brought a case where a guy had brought something to the house of the Reish Galusa, and they'd ushered it on everybody in the house, because they said anything that comes to the Reish Galusa's house is for all the rabbis, which makes it sound, which is reasonable, that when you means not just you, it means you, your family, and your invited guests. So he answers, "Venirali derabbanan v'smichei tadir atacha the Reish Galusa." The rabbis in question used to be supported by the Reish Galusa, and therefore they were part of his household. But regular guests, right, he skips down, Misha Zimin Atlo Orchem, Kevin Chen Regin Lismochtajal Shulchana, Lo Shachi Hashive, Mibnei Beso, Elok Yisrael, Acher Damu. Right? So the Beis Yosef suggests that maybe, how do you define you? You is you and the people who are normally supported by you, and everybody else, even if someone who was invited to your house for a meal, is not you. But then he says, or you could say that no, guests are part of your household. The kol mash asur balabai is asur gam lahem. And if it's asur to you, it's asur to your guests. He said, what it depends on is, did the guests come before or after the present showed up in your house? Right? Meaning, if the guests showed up in your house, you know, everyone was gathered, and then the guy comes last. He comes in, he says, the watermelon is for Shabbos lunch, so then it's for everybody. But if Sam happens to be walking by, knocks on my door, and I say, hey, you know what, we have an extra watermelon, why don't you come by and eat it, because we can't eat it anyways, right? We have a whole watermelon, and you can have it all to yourself. That would be mutter.
Or you can make a deep or chiluk between if somebody drops into your house or if you actually invite them.
Well, so that's what he said. Then he goes on and clarifies. So he says, aval im zimnim, what he means invite, it doesn't mean show up, it means inviting. Right? I mean, if I invite it, it's, right? So basically, say if, right, it doesn't mean that you, it has to be that you came uninvited, or I invited you after I already had the watermelon, right? Meaning, yes, if the guy comes and you were already part of this meal, then it would be usher. So the Beis Yosef basically has two possibilities. One is that in order for something to be usher, it has to be literally people that depend on you. And therefore, it has to be you, your household. But if you have guests, guests are considered other people, and therefore, it is permitted to them. Possibility two is that you includes you, your household, and guests who were already invited when this watermelon became part of your seuda. But if people who show up later, they weren't in the cheshbon, the Beis Yosef says, Rishon Nira Ikar. He takes the lenient approach that you means you and those who depend on you, not people who happen to be at your house for a meal. That doesn't count.
The logic should be the other way around on that. Because if the goy does not know you have guests coming and he brings it for you, and you have to have guests that you already invited, there should be no problem with them eating it because it wasn't special. But on the you can't eat it, but these should be able to eat it because so, there's no intent. But if I bring, if the goy brings me this watermelon, and now I invite people in special just to eat this watermelon.
No, because it, because the other way around. It's not about your intent, about his intent. It's he brought it for you, and the question is, what is defined as you? When you, right? It's not, you're allowed to invite
okay,
someone.
But the question then is, does the goy know?
So it's not about the goy, right? It's the goy brought it for you, which makes it usher.
Right.
Right? Now the question is, who are you?
Right.
Right? When you invite somebody else new, that's now a step removed from the goy's preparation. It doesn't matter that you invited him special to eat the watermelon. The point is that the goy's intent to bring it for you no longer includes this person.
So there's no Iser of Hana'ah. I know you're allowed to, but there's no
Correct.
Iser of Hana'ah.
Correct. That's what comes down here, right? Is the is that what it comes down to? Is that it's not a yeah?
It's an Iser of Achila, but no Iser of Hana'ah.
Right. It's not right. Exactly. Right.
Well, you can look at it from another point of view too. That if the basis of the issur is that you're afraid that the person wants, if you let him use it, he's going to ask the goy to do it on every right. But he's not going to have guests on every yontif. So it's a davar maybe davar al shlichi or sometimes it happens very often for himself and his own family. He might ask him every Shabbos, but he's just happened to be here. You invite him or whatever.
Right, and that may be part of the cheshbon as well. Okay. The last point do you need Kadesh Yasu when the only Isser was Chutzlat Chum? So the Rosh says no. The Rosh says that Kadesh Yasu is only when an Isser Daraisa was violated, that you don't have to wait, and the Rif says that you do. Right? The Rif says you do, that when somebody brought me Chutzlat Chum, you have to wait Kadesh Yasu of the amount of time that it came in Chutzlat Chum and Rabbeinu Tam, and the Rosh says, you don't. Okay, I'm going to skip that point. And the Trumas Hadeshan says, even if it came outside of the Tchum of 12 mil, which there are Shittot that is Daraisa, he still thinks you should be Mekel, because the majority of Shittot think that it is not Daraisa, and therefore he is willing to Mekel even on that. And he said, and even if you think that Yud Beis Mil is Daraisa, he has another way out, which is the chances that something came out of Yud Beis Mil is so rare that even if it actually came outside of Yud Beis Mil, it's a rare event, and the general rule by Derabanans is B'davar B'lo Shchicha Lo Gazer B'Rabanan, and therefore, even if it did come at Michos HaTchum, and therefore what you have is the Rosh thinks you don't have to wait, Kadesh Yasu, if something came out of the Tchum, the Rif says you do, and the Ran says that he thinks that even if it came outside of Yud Beis Mil, the Trumas Hadeshan thinks even if it came out of Yud Beis Mil, you don't have to wait Kadesh Yasu for two reasons, right? One is it may not be Daraisa, and even if it is Daraisa, it's rare, and if it's rare, so we don't make zero, etc. Okay, there are more things in this sugya, but I don't know about you. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of this. My head's spinning from it. I just want to move on. So we're going to move on. We're going to move on next week to the next sugya. start fresh, and hopefully that will be less confusing. That's what I hope.